Feed thy bofa. I smell the world's only Never Winter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard. This is going to get good.
It's the Never Winter Nights podcast.
The Never Winter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Never Winter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Eshercon Zelo, and you have my deep voice today.
Hi, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso. Trey, you're kind of scary tonight.
That sounded like a mouse.
Who, me?
Yeah, you go, eh. Welcome to episode 49 of the Never Winter Nights podcast.
One away from 50, can you believe it?
Yes, and we have some sad news for all the listeners.
Oh, yeah.
This is our last episode that we will air. And I just want to say thank you for listening. And, well, this is the last episode.
And also all of you that have done interviews and were waiting for them to come out, I very, very much apologize for you giving me your time and finding out that they're not going to come out.
So that was the bad news. Now on with the good news, the rest of the show.
Yeah.
What do we have in this episode?
In this episode, we have an entertaining interview with our new team member, Dave Crowell. And if I butchered that, I'm sorry, Dave. And that's
awesome.
AKA Eat to Serve.
Yeah.
And he talks about his kid-friendly module, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yes, excellent module. Played it with my daughter, as you've probably already heard.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, before we get started, though, into the news, I have a question for you, Michelle.
What?
As you know, I'm playing through Mask of the Betrayer now.
Yeah.
And I'm in the... I'm trying to get to the lower level of the tomb.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And I've got to... I guess I got to find a key somewhere.
Ah, the furnace.
Yeah. Well, I went to the furnace, and it says, come back later when you have something you can present to him.
Did you talk...
So, I guess I want to ask for a hint. Not necessarily the actual answer, but a hint that would lead me in the right direction because I've been all over the place.
Did you happen to go to an area that looks like a library with
yes.
giant books? Did you?
Did I kill him? Do I have to kill him?
No. Oh, so you did talk to the scribe.
Yeah, and all he tells me is... Yeah, there's something down on the lower level you got to go get.
Right. Well, go back and talk to him again.
Okay.
Did you go...
I thought I did.
Go back and talk to him again after you have talked to the furnace guard.
Okay.
Did you talk to the furnace guard?
Yes.
Okay, well,
talk
go
to
back.
Me now. I'll go back
no,
to
he
him
won't
and talk...
talk... Go back yeah. and talk to the scribe.
I thought I did, but... Maybe I didn't. Okay.
Yeah, you have to go back and talk to the scribe and,
I almost killed him.
Do you have Uku with you?
The one with the wings?
Giant big bear?
Oh, no. I gotta fight him outside the gate.
Oh, you have to go deal with him first.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. You've got to
deal
with Uku before you even get to that stuff. You're gonna get your butt slaughtered if you don't level up a little.
I'm level 18 and a 20 already.
Trust me. Go deal with him.
But I thought I was supposed to do all that area before I go out to the gate and kill him.
No. You're just supposed to go get...
That's not the impression that I got.
You're just supposed to go get the Heavens girl.
Okay. Well, I did that. So I guess I thought I was supposed to go...
So have you gathered all your companions?
Yes.
Have you gathered Can of Dreams and...
Yeah, I've got Gan, and I've got the girl with the wings, and
right.
She has a hot voice, by the way.
So does Gan.
Yeah, whatever. I guess he's hot for you.
well, you know, he kind of swings that way.
Okay. So, okay, I guess I was thinking I had to do what was in that tomb first before I could go.
No, you need to go deal with Uku.
All right. I guess I'll go do that.
And make sure that you spend some time going after.
Look out, bear! I'm coming after you.
Not giving you any spoilers, but after you deal with Uku, make sure you spend some time in the community talking to people inside buildings and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I have done that. I'm actually taking more time this time and actually getting to know my companions because you scolded me for that in the OC.
Oh, well, there's a reason for it. Almost all of them betrayed you.
Yeah, they did.
Because you didn't build any influence.
Only two of them did.
Well, that's enough.
So I took your advice.
Yes.
Aren't you proud of me?
I'm very proud of you.
Okay, thank you.
Get to know your companions.
Pat me on the back.
You're patted.
All right. Okay, on to the news.
Okay.
I guess there was an announcement from a producer at Atari that the Mysteries of Westgate has been delayed because of some kind of security issue.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all hear about that?
Yep, I read about it on Rob McGinnis's blog.
Yeah, it was also there, yep.
They're waiting for patch 1.13.
1.3, yeah. We'll put a link to that, and y'all can read all about that.
And the official Neverwinter Nights 2 Area Design Contest ends March 31st, which it has already ended.
Yep.
Everything has been submitted. Go take a look at the entries. There are some fabulous work. I have downloaded and played through probably 75% of them and have commented and voted, etc. I'm working on it. My goal is to get through them all before the weekend.
So what are some of the entries?
There's tons of them. There's some beautiful ones. One of the people that were on our roundtable discussion, Lady Elvenstar, has a beautiful one called Unicorn Run.
Uh-huh.
Some of my favorites, and don't take offense, anybody who's listening, if I haven't mentioned yours, because like I said, I have not been through all of them. But some of my personal favorites are Unicorn Run, Mountain Pass, done by Prichelle. If I pronounced that correctly, it looks like Prichelle. Let's see. Dave Crawwell.
Who's that?
A.K.A. Eat to Surf has Enter Treasure Island, and it's quite nice. There is another one, Airy Design Entry, and it doesn't really have a name. It's just the creator's name on there, and it's JLF2N, and it is absolutely beautiful. And it is a remake, apparently, of Baldur's Gate 2.
Oh, wow.
There's a few other. There's one that is called Alindin City. Mm-hmm. And it's got some beautiful details. It was a fun city to run around in. I can't wait to see it in the module. They had, like, real pumpkins and all this beautiful pops of color. A great attention to detail. The detail was amazing in this city. And Hellfire from the RWS team did a high pass, which was also another mountain climb. It was a very fun climb. There's an Asian-themed one called Yamato... And it had some beautiful placeables in it. Black Wolf Forest, another one I enjoyed quite a bit.
Wow.
And Water Baron's Castle, that one was really nice too. And like I said, if I have not mentioned all of them, I do apologize. I have not had a chance to go through them all yet.
So I think we're starting to see the fruits of Neverwinter Nights 2 and just what you
Absolutely.
Can actually do with that engine and.
And there's definitely
and
some talented people that have showed us exactly what you can do with it.
Oh, yeah.
Voting for the 2007 Module of the Year ends soon. We have 3 days left, but by the time this airs, it will be over. So I hope you guys got out there and voted.
Well, it ends April 5th.
So right.
When you hear this, you'll have one more day.
Oh, excuse me. That's right. I forgot we're recording the day late.
Also, over on Rob's McGinnis's blog, there's a sneak peek to patch 1.1.3.
Mm-hmm.
He also has some community works posted. Dorona's Unicorn and Johnny Ree's Hooks.
Yeah.
Are those unicorns, or are those the ones used in that, I think you mentioned in the area design, something called Unicorn Run.
Yeah, actually there is a unicorn in there, and I think that is the one.
Cool. Anyway, go over there and check out Rob's Rob's blog and find out what's coming up for patch 113.
Shout out to a fresh podcast website. They featured us in March 8th. Who is this, right?
Yeah, it's like a podcast website. I guess that they kind of feature podcasts daily. And on March 8th, they featured us.
Oh, how nifty.
Yeah, like on their main page. It was pretty cool.
Oh, very cool.
So I wanted to do a shout out there to Fresh Podcast website.
So tell us a little bit about this interview we got coming up.
Oh, yes. I got to sit down several weeks ago with Dave, actually before he decided to come onto our team, because I know he had done that Jack and the Beanstalk module, which actually got a review on the Vault. Mm-hmm. And so we sat down and went through talking about his module. And so without further ado, here it is. That's pretty good.
Is that alright?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
No, that's not allowed.
I have no idea what you just said. This episode we have with us Dave Crowell, a.k.a. Eat to Surf. Dave is one of our longest listeners joining us from episode 1. He is also a longtime player and recently has become a modder and has released a kid-friendly module, Jack and the Beanstalk, and also some prefab areas. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hey, dude.
Okay, so Dave, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I hate that question. I live to surf. I'm a stay-at-home dad who's held about every job on the planet. I've been a ski photographer on top of a ski mountain at 13,000 feet.
Oh, wow, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was a total blast. I've been a private investigator. Oh, I forgot one. I was a counselor for behaviorally disturbed adolescent girls. Right out of college with my psychology degree.
Cool.
I have 3 published books. Nothing gaming related. Started gaming back at a Shakey's in North Carolina, probably in the 70s. Got my first computer in 81 or 82. An old Apple II.
You said Shakey's Pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to go there when I was a kid when I lived in Little Rock. Every Saturday.
Exactly. Some thin crust pizza.
Live bands on Saturday?
I don't know. I was a little kid. All I know is that I got to go play Pong and my parents gave me quarters. So.
Cool. I introduced you as a longtime listener. So were you our first listener?
I'd been your first. I was your first. My claim to NWNP fame is that I was the first email you guys got.
Ah, cool. Oh, I remember you were our first something.
And I don't think I typed in first.
So how long have you been playing Neverwinter Nights, and what got you started?
I actually heard about it before it came out. And didn't have a computer that would run it. And then ended up with a laptop that would run it, but it ran it at about, 8 frames a second. And so I really couldn't play very much when I first got it, so I messed around with building and never released any of that stuff. But I don't know, I was like, I think my kid was born, so 2003 or 2? When did it come out?
2002, I believe.
Yeah, somewhere like 2002 sounds right. Mm-hmm. And Neverwinter Nights 2, I just got in February. So, hey, but I finally got to find out where
get me a tankard. This is going to be good.
That's you heard where
that?
I'm at.
You heard that in the game?
Just last night. That's where I'm at.
Cool.
I haven't played much. I've actually designed or built on it for like, geez, probably like 30 hours. I'm trying to build a treasure island, which is, of course, another linear game. So I'm going to try to make it so that you can not follow the book.
Are you going to put that one up on the vault?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
If it ever gets finished. It's funny because then I was working in Neverwinter Nights 2, and of course it takes forever to get all these different things, and thank God the scripting's the same.
Right.
But I went back to Neverwinter Nights 1 because I was like, you know what? What if I could just make a quick, like a sound stage so I can run my kid through it with a DM adventure? Because now that I have a computer that'll run Neverwinter Nights 2, I can link up my old computer and yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me like 3 minutes to make an area that took like 4 days on Neverwinter Nights 2. It's like, huh, maybe I'll go back.
So speaking of going back, you recently released Jack and the Beanstalk, a new kid-friendly module. All
right, nice segue. That's good.
How long did it take you to create that module?
A lifetime. Jeez, Trey. Every part of my existence has gone into whatever I produce. However, if you're asking me which time I actually started typing it in the keyboard, I'd have to say that I don't know that either. Which is why my documentation's kind of shoddy. I know, I worked on it a little bit here and there as, I guess you want an official real answer, as a stay-at-home dad. You got to take your time when you get it. So
right.
I guess as any at-home parent, any parent, what the hell, anybody. And bits here and there, probably, I'd hate to say a year, but probably like a year.
So what?
And then I wrote the Thunder Bowling and all the Happily Ever After and all that. I did in a day and a half.
Well, that's not too long. So what made you want to create this module?
My kid. I was like, what can I do to get my kid to play Neverwinter Nights? He'd already been playing some clicking game that was like Curious George or something, which was cool. He started doing computer games like 2.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little violence in some of these things. So it's like, well, we were reading Jack and the Beanstalk. It's like, this would be an easy mod. A year later, I've learned how to... Actually, wow, I started a long time ago because I put the pink cap on that giant.
Okay, I'm sorry, but he is just creeping me out, and he's pink. He's even pink. Oh my goodness, you shouldn't be here. My husband will eat you up since you are here. Would you like some breakfast? Oh my goodness. Should I say yeah?
Jeez, like, that's my first modding experience, so, or whatever, modeling.
Yeah,
I learned how to model. I had to learn how to script and all that stuff, but I didn't do that specifically for this, so, you know, that's hard to... I have more fun building and tweaking around and all that stuff than playing, though I love to play.
So what was your favorite part of the module to create?
Probably Thunder Bowling, and I did that in just the night before. I'd released it, and was it... Alex, is that right? I get to mispronounce somebody. Gave me a review on it and said, you know, it was kind of sparse in the castle, and it was, because basically I'd been working and working to get the giant to do the right thing and not kill you and all that stuff.
Right.
And, which, if there's anybody out there that wants to get killed by the giant, I'm happy to do an adult one. I'm thinking of that, so we can trash you. But that one you probably don't want your 8-year-old doing.
So was that some of the challenges that you faced trying to get all that to work?
Yeah, just timing it so that so the giant would wake up not too soon. but soon enough to chase you out the door, or else he wouldn't be involved. You know, lots of different things. So you can explore and try to get the dialogue to work together. I mean, that's basic stuff for most people, but you had to learn it, so right. I learned it. So yeah, after he told me it was sparse up there, I was like, yeah, I'd rushed it out. You know what, I got like 4 days before my new computer gets here in the mail, so I crammed in and tossed a bunch of stuff in there and then made Thunderbowling. And that was just cool, sleepy creativity, which was, I like that. Fishing was fun too.
Yeah, my daughter enjoyed the fishing and the bowling when she was playing it.
We got a fish, look!
Yeah, caught a fish.
Woo! Let's go fishing again.
You want to do it again?
Yeah, so, I was going to make it, if with multiple, you know, instead of a straight line adventure, make it so that, I mean, you know, Jack doesn't need to go up the beanstalk if he catches a lot of fish.
So how did you come up with the idea for Thunderbowling in the Giant's Castle?
Well, I sit there going, what the heck can I put in this? And so then you start, I don't know how other builders do it, you just start going through placeables, you know, just room, blink, blink, seeing what's out there, keep your memory going. And then even when, you know, sometimes you just flip through the models that aren't necessarily in the palette.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I hit on one of those arrows, to be honest, one of the colored arrows. And I went, oh man, that looks just like a, actually I think I put a couple of them down and was like, look at that, that's like a bowling alley. And it's like, oh, Giants, yeah, thunder, yeah. Because as a kid I was always told that when I was scared of the thunder, that it was just Giants bowling. So all that came together. And then of course when I finished it, it's like, well now I got to script it so it kind of decide, you know, so you can have random pins go down. It's like, you know what? I'm releasing it. So maybe later I'll make it so you can actually have splits and spares and that stuff.
Cool. So recently, and actually it's still on the front page of the vault as we're doing this interview, the Neverwinter Nights Vault actually reviewed your Jack and the Beanstalk, I guess QSW.
Yeah, that's totally cool.
Did a review. So what do you think of that?
It's an honor. I don't know.
I guess how did that make you feel? I guess is the question.
It's, and that just sparks all my psychology training. How does that make you feel? Well, Trey, deep inside, it just really touched something. It's totally cool.
It appears
then,
to,
you know, it's weird because, you know, it's, you know, you're sending your thing out there and it's like, and then it's like, I put it on the list to be reviewed and I saw there's a ton still to be reviewed. So I totally put it off my mind of ever being reviewed. Actually, I told Michelle that I believe this, she should be a reviewer because she plays so much and she, you know, she'd be a good reviewer, I think.
Yep. I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah, and so I was sitting there, well, it's never going to get reviewed. And then,
bam!
I was reading the responses to the episode 46 to see what everybody thought of how bad I did there. and I guess no news is okay, so. Somebody, who was it?
I think Halloween Foxy called you a screaming geek or something like that. Or maybe she was talking about me, but
FFBJ is the one who gave the link.
Yeah,
I'm sure Halloween Foxy said something wonderful about me.
She always has things
to
say.
I think I called myself the giggling geek, didn't I?
Oh, is that what you? Oh, maybe it was you.
I'm sure I did. Oh. I always beat somebody to the punch. If someone's going to cut me down, I'll do it first. I'm no dummy.
What I thought was very cool about your review is that they talk about how your kid-friendly module has actually helped them create or open up a special category on the vault called child-friendly. I thought that was pretty cool.
It's totally cool. I can't take... I'd love to take credit for it. On my comment page, a guy named, I guess, PJ0000 said that while he hadn't played my module yet, he had talked to Maximus about creating the category. I think he might have been the one... He might have done one for kids, but I'm not sure. Or else he played Missing Dragon or something like that. So I'd love to take credit for it, and I think there should be more of them. And, well, geez, I'll make more of them. Not much competition yet, so if there's two of us, I'm at least number two, right?
Yes.
That was the thing about the review that was kind of, I mean, all the words are, I mean, she's right on and all that, and then... But when it only totals not quite seven, it's like, oh man.
Well, I was asking Michelle after I read that. I was talking to her on Instant Messenger and said, okay, he almost got a total of a seven on it. That's pretty good, huh? And she said, yeah, that's better than average, is what she said.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
You got some eights.
You got some eights. You got an eight on role playing, a seven on visuals, and an eight on solo.
Yeah, no, I read it, and everything's dead on. I mean, the compliments, of course, are dead on. Mm-hmm. The critique stuff, or the negatives are right on too. It's funny, and for some reason I don't know. This is my first time of, is QSW, do I say she or he? You know, it's like,
I think it's a she.
Yeah. You know, she was saying how I used, one certain version of the story, and you know, as a man that does all this research, I grabbed the one book that my kid had. So apparently there's other stories that Jack doesn't seem like such a thief, so I might actually be putting some of that in the dialogue, so give him a little more, I guess, parent friendly motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, although I guess I kind of made it so mom was just kind of being annoying. If we only had just some music.
I remember when
it was like 2 a.m, you know.
When my daughter was playing that and she saw the mother for the first time, she's like, "What is that? It looks like an old man, Daddy."
it's the Neverwinter Nights old lady. I didn't make a model.
She started laughing.
Well, she's supposed to be, the thing is, she's supposed to be bent over from weariness and all that, so.
Right.
Which is funny, I was thinking about doing, as soon as I got Neverwinter Nights 2 installed, of course, most people, I guess, played. First thing I did was, I had just released Jack and the Beanstalk, and I went, I wonder if I could build the clouds here, you know, and like, learning how to do it, and hey, I coulda, but now, actually, that I've tooled in it, I probably could. But, I don't see how you can lean anybody over in Neverwinter Nights 2. So it's like, great. Couldn't have a bent old lady.
By the way, QSW stands for Queen Silverwing. So it is a she.
Online personality is a she. Gotcha. No, that's, she gave me a good compliment too in her,
which one
on
was
my
that?
Module page. Just, I mean, I guess not compliment, but just that she's friendly, I'm friendly, I'm totally happy with the review. It's just as the, you know, when you read it all, you go, that's great, and then you see that number, and you're like, oh man, come on, seven.
What's your,
6.8.
What's your score on the module so far, on your module page?
Let's see. I'll have to click there. I think it's 8.31. 8.31, come on! Sorry, yeah. I think I got voted down by Michelle.
No.
She gave me a 9. No, I had, I did have a low vote.
I need to go vote. I haven't voted yet.
See?
And I've played it actually, so.
No, I got a low vote from the first version where I had the factions off, and actually, if a combination of me not having changed factions and you not having put it to the easy slider, Jack's mom, if you attacked like mm-hmm. the deer or something.
Yeah, she would attack you.
You'd come home and, hi, Mom, and she'd come after you with an axe or something. I guess she'd start kicking, I think.
That's funny.
So I changed that. But then it's like, when she started doing that, it's like, yeah, we need an adult version, because that's kind of fun, too. So if anybody out there wants an adult version, that won't take nearly as much time. Just pull out some scripts. So when you played with your daughter, which we heard on episode 46, which if anybody hasn't heard, click here. So I'm curious about when you took the gold, when he woke up. Because, of course, I've played it so many times, just running through to get to the part that I fixed or whatever, that I have no concept anymore how a kid plays it. Does that make any sense? Have you made anything yet in the tool set?
Oh, no, I haven't made anything in the tool set.
Dude, start up, do it. So, obviously, it's like any other programming or whatever. If you change something in the castle,
mm-hmm.
If it has variables involved, it's just easier to run through the whole module. So you just zip, 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 zip.
Right, understood.
And so, you're just, come on, giant, fall asleep. Which is actually, when I was debugging stuff, I took out some scripts, which is why in my review it talks about the harp not working. Where being the same as saying the same thing as when it's in the giant's castle. I had this whole scripting thing that allows it to change the background music, and it cycles through, I think, 75 different songs. And of course, I took that out to debug it, so it didn't make it into the thing she reviewed, so oops. Gotta fix that.
I don't remember the giant going to sleep.
It didn't go to sleep. No, he went to sleep. He fell over.
Did he? I don't remember seeing that. I think we were running out of there as quick as we could, or at least my daughter was wanting to. And so, I don't think we ever saw him go to sleep. He might have been off in some other room asleep, but I don't think we ever saw him.
No, he'd have fallen asleep right at the that table.
Oh, really? Hmm.
But you didn't hide. Did you not hide?
No, we couldn't figure out how to hide.
There's all those boxes in the corner and that map note that says cupboard, but that's all right. I don't expect kids to kids to figure it out, and you're only, 42?
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. I was like, she kept telling us to hide, and my daughter's going, hide, hide. I'm going, I don't know where to hide. I'm clicking over here, but there's nowhere to hide.
Well, at least click, go stealthy,
So I said, here he comes, let's just run.
That works. Let's see, I tried to make it so that would work. And he's supposed to, so did he ever chase you?
Yes, he did.
Which time?
He chased us the third time when we took the harp.
Good. So I've made it, I tried to make it so he got up a little sooner each time, and then at the harp, there's no chance of not getting chased.
Right.
Because I figured that.
So it was fun. I thought, we enjoyed it. Some quality time.
Bonding.
We played for about 2 hours.
Really?
Dad, go back, go back, go back. I want to show you something. Look at a head.
I know. Kind of cool, huh? There's water coming out of his mouth. That's where the water's coming out of the mountain.
Cool. And you didn't vote.
I will.
Just kidding.
Let's see. That was a nice way to say, you need to go vote!
No, I wouldn't say that to someone who hasn't voted yet.
Do the giant voice and tell me to go vote.
Okay, hang on.
Trey, you need to go vote. I smell someone that hasn't voted.
That's awesome. Okay. Okay, changing gears a little bit. I think
this
you...
This is the NWN police. We have a non-voter. Non-voter.
Okay, I'm glad he left. Hey, I think, changing gears a little bit, I think we mentioned that you, or had talked about this in the past, that you have created some prefab areas. You want to tell us a little bit more about those and what you've created?
Yeah, like I say, that's so long ago I forgot about it. That's actually based on an old D&D thing that I started in like the 50s. No, I wasn't born yet, so. Gygax put out the books and I started this, so. I'm kind of bummed about that, but let's see. Terentia, what is it called? I got to look it up. The City of Terentia, that's what I released. Yeah, that was, I put it together for an online thing I did. Actually, that was through the podcast. You guys had said that you'd never multiplayer.
Oh! I remember there was a listener from the UK who called in with a question about DMing, and you offered to DM for him, and we actually had received an audio from him about that afterwards. After
telling you how great it was, and you didn't
we never could get it. That was when we were having problems with audio, and we never could get that file, and we never heard from him again.
Put me down. Just the man putting me down.
No, we never heard from him again. We asked him in several episodes to email us and let us know how that went.
It's cool. We linked up, and I guess I'd probably been building the city before, so I didn't build it just for that, but anything with a deadline lights fires. So I finished off bits of that and actually had some really good role players show up and had no story, and I'd never done the DM client, really, for people. Mm-hmm. And so I thought I was just doing a horrible job. But then, of course, on the other end, they thought I did all right and gave me good reviews for it because it was absolutely open. You know, I had no story. So everything they did affected the city and everything that around them.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it all in this city, the city of Terentia, and actually a little faction bug which caused the gatekeeper to attack somebody started the whole ball rolling. It was pretty cool. But, I don't remember. I probably started that in 2004 or something.
Hmm, cool.
It took me forever to find the hack to so anybody else could play it. Because I had it, probably downloaded it in 2003 and then we played in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's 22 areas, fully built city. It's got a courthouse in there. It's got a sewer system. It's got the front two areas has some stuff going on, which you know, people can erase or mm-hmm. build on. I think all the scripting, most of it, I think is mine. I think I built off of some things from like community project stuff, CEP stuff, or no, DMFI, I guess, had some scripts in there, DMFI 101.
Uh-huh.
And of just making the commoners not be so stupid and generic. And actually, that's where I started just using different variables and stuff so that everybody could say something different, which is, I like to click on things, which you might notice if you play Jack. So, you know, if you keep talking to the people in the city and they keep saying, nice weather, you know, it's, you get a real surreal feeling like, what kind of town is this?
Are there any modules that used your city? That you know of?
Not that I know of. I have, 129 downloads, so not very many people played with it. It's huge, though. I thought, Jesus, this is a tiny city, because I broke it into 8x8 areas so that it would go online well. And I'd done my homework on that, I guess. And I guess most people try to cram their city all in one or two areas. It's, my God. It's crazy. I try to build it more like a medieval town, which has like a hillside, so with houses spread kind of sparsely, and then, I don't know, different areas, and yada yada. But
I know it's amazing.
I think it's pretty cool just to have a walk in. So go take a walk.
I think it's amazing how many areas some of these modules and worlds create. I think like this event that we're planning, this next event that we're planning on Anacolus, Realm of Anacolus. Mm-hmm. I was reading about that and it says like over 1,000 areas to explore. I'm like,
Well, that's the thing. It's like, that's the beauty of Neverwinter Nights 1 is it doesn't take, once you get used to it, it doesn't take any time at all to build an area. And then it takes a while to make it feel alive, but not that long. And I'm sure that place has a few servers, so when you... I don't know how it works in Neverwinter Nights 2. Actually, I don't know how it works in Neverwinter Nights 1 either, but the server guys know how it works. And say you go into a dungeon, you can go to a whole different server while you're in the dungeon. Uh-huh. And then you come out so that you can... Thousands of areas, yeah. That's wild. And they're welcome to take the city of Terentia. Or email me and I'll fix it up for your permanent world.
So you said earlier you were playing Neverwinter Nights 2. How's that going?
I just got to the... Someone get me a tankard. This is going to be good.
Oh, that's right. So you got to
the cat fight. And I don't know. I just realized as I read your question, you know, you had that pre-thing that I might ask you about Neverwinter Nights 2. And I went, well... Geez, I started thinking about me. I'm always playing like rogues that are, or rangers, which kind of have my skills. And so I'm like, this is lame. It's supposed to be role playing, but you know. So I did the right thing, and I tried to make them not fight and all that. And didn't save, so I can go back and watch them fight. I don't do that. I tend to just have one save for the whole deal, which I'm sure is going to come back and bite me in the butt.
Yeah, you use the F12 quick save. I've actually been doing that quite a bit with Master the Betrayer.
I didn't know about F12. I'll do that now.
Yeah, F12 is a quick save. But it saves over the last one that you used it on, so...
That's all right.
If you want to go back two or three saves before, you can't, unless you do the normal save where you escape.
Well, see, I just did the normal save and save over my last one, so...
Those take longer to do.
Well, I figure it's taken... I play so little that... I'm never going to go back and play again, so I could ask you what the cat fight looked like. But did you see the cat fight? The three wizards? The sorceress and the...
Oh, dude, that's been a long time ago.
Well, that's how far
yes,
I am.
I remember that, though, yes.
So have I even started then? So at that stage...
You're in Act 1, it sounds like.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many acts do I got to go through?
Three. Three acts.
I'm almost done with Act 1, though, right? Not even close.
No, I think you're just getting into it.
I'm one of those gamers that, like, come on. If you got, I mean, obviously, I have to go through all these hoops to get into the next step, and I just kind of hate that. I'd rather be able to get there ill prepared for it and go back. But anyway.
Okay, last question. What do you like the most about the Neverwinter Nights community, and what keeps you hanging around in it?
Everybody in it. Everybody's totally unique, but they accept everybody else. I guess that's probably the easiest way to put it. I've gotten the same feeling when I go to a D&D group or an SCA event, which is Society for Creative Anachronism. Which, by the way, I missed the practice tonight so I could do this. So I recorded better. No, that's all right.
Oh,
I have,
wow.
No, that's all right. That's something else I do. I forgot to tell you that.
You do a lot of stuff.
I haven't been to a practice in forever, and I'm going to do a demo. Have you ever heard of SCA?
No, I was just going to ask. What are you talking about?
Well, there's no cards involved in this either. Well, I have played Magic the Gathering that is the card game you're thinking of. And like that. SCA, we put on real armor, and we hit each other with rattan sticks. That's about it.
Oh.
And like swords. Actually, I can give you a
No, I've actually seen some people out in public doing that last spring.
Well, they might not have been SCA. We're the ones that do it real quick.
I know they were college official. Kids. We live near Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is, well, that's where Jay actually lives. It's in Fayetteville, which is a college town, of course, University of Arkansas. And I was
Razorbacks.
I was doing some geocaching at lunch one time, and I went to this park, and there was they looked like college kids, and they were dressed up, and they were hitting each other with sticks.
Now the thing about the SCA,
like sword fighting, they looked like they were sword fighting.
Yeah. When I was in college, we did that with cardboard boxes and plastic swords, which is probably why I didn't really have much dating life in college.
When I first saw them, I thought they were LARPs.
Well, that's it. It could have been LARPs. The difference is LARPs put their padding on the weapon, basically, and we wear we try to be real reenactment type of thing with the period armor. And
so next time you do one,
like a grill across the front so that we don't get poked in the eye. So it's all the safety stuff. So you can't do things like leg sweeps or anything like that because I don't want to get hurt. I have a real life.
Right.
But you can get your bell rung pretty good. And the better you get, the less armor you wear because, of course, it's so constrictive, which is why the rules for, when you go through these rules of encumbrance and all that in Neverwinter Nights, you're like, that's lame. But it's like, they're pretty generous. They let you do a lot of stuff.
So next time you do that, video it and send it to us.
Yikes. Well, I haven't done it in a long time, and I'm going to do a demo with this guy, and I've only met him once, and I've only lived here, a little over a year, and I haven't really had time to get into it much. So here is this poor guy. I'm going to do a demo with him, and he's seen me once. It's like, are you going to show up? It's like, I'll get you a video. I tend to wear. I'm a Viking, but I haven't totally perioded out of my armor. But I wear basically leather armor, padding underneath, and a Spagan helm, and I use an axe. So, which is, most people use a sword and board, a sword and shield.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy that I'm going to be doing this demo with is a knight, so he's really good. But I use the axe because I suck, and that's a good excuse to suck because using an axe in one-to-one tournament fighting is, like, really stupid. But it's fun. But the SCA is really cool is that you also, it's on the honor system. So if you strike me in a manner which is, I deem, good enough to kill me, it's my job to tell you killed me.
Oh, I see.
And so there's a real honor thing to it.
Hmm. So kind of like fencing. Cool. Okay, Dave. Well, hey, I appreciate you stopping by and letting us get to know you a little bit better. Anything you want to let the listeners know before we sign off?
Something about me.
So anything else you want to let the listeners know before we sign off?
Good question. Vote for modules. Don't let something supposed to be a kid's module scare you off. Go play it. The City of Trench is really neat.
Even though it's cute, go check it out.
Plug, plug, plug. Yeah, cute does not mean it's no fun. Try to build. I think people should, even if you haven't built something. I'll send you a video of me doing SCA.
I haven't built any Neverwinter Nights modules or levels or anything, but I have built gaming levels before in other games.
Build something in this tool set so we can play.
I've built Unreal levels.
That's cool. So I think you'll dig though the tool set. It's Neverwinter Nights tool set is so user friendly, it really is. So cool. Tell if you have a story inside you, tell it.
In our next episode, we have an interview with Zach, a.k.a. Dirtywick, who is the author of I'm being brain dead right now, The Subtlety of They, and he's working on part two of the series. Oh.
April Fools.
April Fools. We lied.
We lied at the beginning of the episode. It's not really the end of the podcast.
and since we couldn't record and stuff on April 1st, we didn't want to feel left out.
Well, actually, we were recording on April 1st, but I got sick, and so we had to move it a day late. But anyway,
yeah.
April Fool's week. We get the whole week, right?
Yeah, April Fool's week. Absolutely.
I wanted to actually not say anything, but Michelle talked me into saying something at the end of the episode. I was just going to see what y'all see what happened with all the comments.
Now, see, I'm not that mean. Trey's mean. You're evil. You wanted to torment all those people who committedly download the show.
Anyway, happy April Fool's week.
Yes. Have you seen some of the internet April Fool's jokes? There's been some awesome ones. Did you see the one from IGN?
Uh-uh.
Oh, gosh, they did this elaborate scene saying there was going to be a movie out, Legends of Zelda. And, I mean, they had, like, movie clips and everything, and it looked, like, really professionally done. And I was like,
wow.
And Johnny goes, here's an April Fool's one for you. World of Warcraft did one. Well, Blizzard Entertainment. They're just been all over the place. Even Google did one. Google did two. Google did two. But it's, yeah, it seems like April Fool's has gone onto a whole new level with the internet.
Well, I guess that's it for this show. Thanks for joining us. So until next time,
get in game
and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is copyright 2008.
We got Big Bad Trey tonight.
Hello, this is Dr. Death.
This is Trey dying.
I can do bass.
Yeah, obviously.
Daddy does bass.
I'm glad my voice doesn't sound like that when I'm sick. I just sound stuffy.
Mama loves dinners.
You're not supposed to click off of them. Open a new window.
Hey, but the website's nice and fast now. It was so good, it choked me up.
Yay! We did good.